Starting again.
So Hillary mentioned to me just for this portion, you may want to discuss some retreat ideas. There's always good opportunities to discuss retreat ideas, even though I will prompt you that there are polling sheets around looking for dates in February for you all. Mm-hmm. If you have time to fill that out and pass to your left, Shella, Laura, Hillary, and I will kind of take polling. Obviously, you need you all there.
I won't know until a little bit later because I have to go to Singapore sometime between February and April for work. But I won't know when, but I'll try to get a date for that. So I can't actually fill out my little table.
Kind of, you think earlier in February would probably be better?
Earlier would be better, I think, because it would be too soon.
So how does February 8th look for people? Is that it's a Friday.
Bad. I'm really sorry. I'm going to be out of town.
It's not a great day for me either that day. I could do it, but...
Thank you. Yeah. Thank you, Maya. It's not just me. Okay. See? Many of us can't come.
I would have been there.
I think hearing that, I think what we might do is we might just send out a doodle poll and just have a broader... it's critical we have you all there.
Right.
You know, we have a new commissioner coming on for Landmarks, too. We're still coordinating that gymnastics with City Hall. But know that we're desperately trying to nail you all down. And I would add final windows to the conversation, which I suspect would always be a yearly retreat item. Like with our last case,
I think that would be great.
It ebbs and flows on the quality.
And just knowing that I think Design Commission is getting more comfortable approving them, I would love to, you know, to look at some of those applications, you know, especially those that have been in place the longest, and kind of see how they look.
Well, and on that note, I mean, last retreat, I think we had Julie attend, which I thought was great. And if there's an opportunity to include Design Commission again, or even...
I was just going to say that perhaps maybe a commissioner of choice and maybe have a little vinyl stuff. I mean, we have a very similar conversation, and Kristen, to your point on this one, I mean, this is a non-contributing building, so it's, I mean, we're even having the conversation at all because of that very reason in our minds. We certainly evaluate the heck out of all the details and all our review processes, but particularly when it comes to plastic and historic districts. I mean,
we should also talk about metal roofs along those lines, because we've had a couple of those come through where there was a question as to what we thought about them in conservation districts, I think.
Like standing seam, particularly? Is that what you're thinking?
Right. Mm-hmm. So maybe we should add that to the, you know, along with the materials discussion.
What about solar panels?
Solar?
Yeah.
In terms of more exemptions? I mean, certainly that's probably coming down the pike, so.
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, there's so many different things going on with solar now and then.
And is URM already on that list?
I don't have the list in front of me, but I'll make sure it is if it's not.
Because I think that, I don't know the status of that right now, but I was just thinking about when you guys were talking about exemptions and.
Oh, yeah.
Have they designed the one they're putting on the Pittock Mansion yet? It's a design review, must be, right?
Ernestina, I would offer, we almost have a standard solar panel, presentation that we've done before and years ago retreats. And because it all comes down to that issue of visibility. And one of the interesting challenges we have is when solar panels pop up on garages in Lads Edition that are visible from the alley but not visible from the street. Mm-hmm. And so I think depending on how far you want to go with the solar panel conversation, it's going to vary sometimes from district to district. I mean, if we all assume not visible from the street is one bar, there's other nuances, corner lots, alleys.
They're integrating photovoltaic into building.
Yeah, well, that's the thing.
The PV shingles, right, which have a sheen. You know, it's that tech thing. It's like just like the vinyl windows. Like last year's solar is not tomorrow. So.
Exactly.
I'll add it, and we certainly hit it again before we finally get a retreat scheduled. Thank you.
Okay. That's a good one.
We had a little running tally, I think, in the last discussion.
Yeah, I think I missed the first, the last hearing where there was a little bit of discussion of retreat items. But I do know that there was some discussion about advocacy and kind of our role, you know, what we can do moving forward.
One of the thoughts I have regarding that is related more to the Planning Commission. And some of the conversations that we've had with that subgroup. And I want to go read what the actual charter says about what the Planning Commission is supposed to be doing. But my feeling is that they are mostly interested in accommodating growth and all the people that are moving here. And I want to advocate for them to actually take on their planning role of planning for what these historic districts will look like in 200 years, so that we expand what they think their charge is to say, look, your
charge isn't just to plan for the people who are moving here.
Yeah.
Your charge is to plan for the people who live here now. And part of that is that we recognize these historic districts. And so what are you putting into place as part of your plan to make sure that the districts are here in 200 years? Because I don't think they're really thinking about it that way.
Isn't there charter to implement the comprehensive plan? And isn't the comprehensive plan requiring all of these various goals and policies that support historic preservation, such as preserving our historic resources, right zoning to ensure compatibility, all of those things that were just passed by City Council,
what are our expectations of their ability to do that?
You know? Right.
Because I want to have a high standard for what our expectations are for their ability to do that.
Well, and the other thing I would like to know is, I know that Goal 5, right, I think you brought this up previously, speaks to both natural resources and the built environment. And I think that there's been quite a bit of right zoning in the area of natural resources, which is also a comp plan policy and goal. But there's an analogous one for historic resources. So the question is...
Well, even to that, and I don't want to pick on individuals, but there was this idea of it as a built, you know, as not understanding historic resources as a landscape, not understanding that historic districts are not just a collection of listed and contributing, and that everything else doesn't matter, that it's a holistic look at those districts. And so I think we're struggling some, is that there's, I don't know, I don't want to say, I don't think they're willfully doing it. I just think it's a matter of maybe we could do more to engage with them and talk about it on this level. I don't know. It's part of a retreat idea that both engaging on the design level, but also on the broader planning level of how do we enable them to be better at their job by being more proactive in arming them to.
You're right. Maybe we should, in addition to inviting a planning a design commissioner, maybe we should invite a planning commissioner.
Yeah, I think that should.
Some of them seem more open, and you can see the sort of thinking like, oh, I never thought about it that way before.
Right.
And then others, you sort of get the sense that they're sort of entrenching in their positions. And it's been a really interesting experience, I think, because we have it such from our perspective, and they have it such from their perspective, and then we never actually, until these sort of discussions, we never actually dialogue with each other.
So Matthew's talking about working with them in the little subgroup, working group that we have with them. So we've had a couple, three maybe, meetings with the three of us.
The planning or the design commission?
With the planning commissioners.
As they approach
or three of them.
The code changes, the rewrites to all this different stuff that they have to approve, but really relates to our work, our day-to-day work is getting reworked, and we all need to be of like mind and one arm in arm army to make sure that we.
And the truth is, for me as a commissioner, I know. So on a day to day basis, I'm an architect, and so we respond to the code and the overlays. We don't make them, so it's hard for me to have a real understanding of these impacts what, you know, as we're looking at the initial takes on how they impact, it's almost just too big for my brain to handle. So I don't have a real understanding of the impacts until they are implemented and I have to deal with it. You know what I mean? Mm. But I like where you're going in the sense that it's, we, you know, we have the planning commission, the design commission, and the preservation commission, and we've got these little historic districts that are standalone, and we have our little things that we have to deal with because to make them happy, as opposed to making kind of historic sort of a catalyst. That's sort of like, you know, mm. we can, urban planning should start from these historic buildings, not just designated in neighborhoods, but kind of the walkability and all the good things that you get from the historic buildings. I mean, you look at any of these successful streets and it's all, the heart of it is always some historic buildings are there. Then of course there's the division, speaking of division route, which that's just sort of a mishmash of stuff, like it kind of, you know, anyway. I totally get what you're going.
Districts as an asset to the city that they need, mm-hmm. and I want to say this. I'm speaking in very broad terms. My feeling is that we haven't done enough to demonstrate the asset, the
right.
value of the asset of these historic districts, so that people in a higher level of planning authority would, you know, this is why people are moving here. This is why the city is thriving.
Right.
These are the 20-minute neighborhoods that we've rediscovered. This is the old transportation
right.
system that's under our streets that we're digging up and rebuilding, and it's sort of like part of it is getting planning
right. I completely agree.
Just the people moving here. It's like,
so a little bit more about educating them about what we do and how important it is what we do for what they actually do. So kind of a
yeah,
but I think
education in that part, like not like they don't know, but educating them about what this means. How
yeah,
the implications you have.
And the implications, I think to Maya's point about how you don't think about how to impact, we've all testified about Block 33, right? We all testified about Chinatown and right zoning and all that stuff. And what the commissioners, city commissioners, have expressly said, well, it's okay because landmarks will never allow this. So the conflict between the zoning and our ability to apply the design criteria, it comes up all the time. And so these are the people who can fix the zoning, right? And not only can they fix it, but they're supposed to fix it because they've just articulated a goal to do
they're
so.
They're arguing about it right now.
Right.
Well, towards
exactly.
that end, you know, there's been all these studies like DOZA, you know, trying to get the process to work better for everybody who has to go through it. And when we have a disconnect, like we have now between, you know, one arm of the city kind of wanting to not necessarily protect historic districts, and then, you know, the other one having that ability and that charge, it means that developers and, you know, anybody in the construction industry working in those areas has a lot less certainty about
right.
what they can
and
get approved.
Same with the other constituents, because they become, you know, confused as well, which is why you wind up in contentious situations, right? There would be no contention if everybody understood what the rules were. But we don't have that because, like you said, there's a mishmash of, or there's a disconnect between the zoning and approval criteria in many cases, which we've been talking about in our State of the City report probably for 5 years now.
So this actually is a great segue to a specific project that, you know, we've weighed in on already, and that is the Better Housing by Design. And I was kind of hoping that Brandon might be around and he could give us a little update on what the Planning Commission has recently done. They had a workshop and made some I guess they didn't formally vote on anything yet, but they have kind of approved a direction that I then heard from Restore Oregon and some of their other preservation community that people are really worried about. So I think, unfortunately, the Planning Commission has heard us, and there are at least some commissioners on that group who, you know, don't really understand or maybe don't care about historic districts in particular. I think we have advocates who always are going to care about the individual properties, but it's that understanding of what a district means and how to protect it where we really do have that disconnect. And so hopefully Brandon can give us, whenever he's back in town, so he's out of town this week, but he can give us a little update about where we stand with the Planning Commission, because I would like to have another opportunity to reiterate to Planning Commission where we stand and kind of how we view this more recent direction, because, I think it's causing huge concerns, not just for us, to put us in a contentious position. I mean, obviously, we can handle it, but it's really bad for the development community. I mean, I think that's first and foremost what they don't understand about what they're doing.
Yeah, I'd be curious just myself just to understand what are the bullets, what are the concerns?
Right.
I don't have a concept of it.
Yeah.
Because I don't have the time to sit there and really understand it. So that would be super helpful
for me
at a workshop.
And it's also related to the underlying zoning, because the Better Housing by Design is basically the high density version of RIP, residential infill project. So what it's doing is it's looking at the multifamily zoning, which in some cases we being the Landmarks Commission have argued is incongruent with the historic districts, and specifically I think that there are two districts that are uniquely impacted. But the point is that two historic districts, that is. But the point is that those zones, the original underlying zoning, never got right zoned, and now because these projects are coming in, the portions of the historic districts that were never right zoned are now being swept into these projects. But the effects of that are so much more pronounced on the historic district because of we want to keep the boundaries. You want to know when you're walking into a historic district versus not. But this goes back to what Matthew was saying about how there's a lack of appreciation or understanding about the value of that district to the city, and how it's not really individual neighbors or individual property owners. I mean, when you live in a historic district, you're basically a steward of a public resource, and you, as a result, you have to live up to certain obligations, to help preserve that. So we have people wanting to come here and visit 20-minute walks, or paint portraits of houses and film here, or whatever it is that attracts all these people. But I think the problem is that again, it goes back to the zoning, which is why I do think we need a planning commissioner at this. But we should try to figure out who or how we go about inviting folks to come and have that dialogue.
So we stressed at the last meeting with this group, and not to go too much into it, but we stressed that we all agreed that there was a lot of capacity in existing historic districts, that we were not against growth in districts, that we actually were telling them, look, there's already a lot of low-income housing in some of these districts. If you saved it, you'd save low-income housing. I guess the goal for me is to get them to just integrate the historic districts into their overall growth plan and acknowledge you're only going to get, maybe 20% more units in this area, but be happy about that, knowing that you've saved the district. So it's sort of like they look at them as hindrances. They literally look at all the historic districts as stopping them from implementing their overall plan. And so I even made the case at our last meeting, what if 100% of the neighbors voted for the historic district, but it was against your overall plan? And it's sort of a conundrum. Like, the whole 100% of the district wants to be a historic district, but you want it to be something else. Maybe you're at odds with what is, I'm just not sure. I don't think they've figured that out either, but it would be nice to get them to actually design into the cake what these resources will be over time,
right,
for the next 200 or 300 years. So,
Tim,
excuse me, can I make a suggestion?
Please.
So one thought might be, and I think inviting a PSC member to one of the retreats would be great. The retreats are usually 4 hours. It's a big commitment. If you compress it, but one thought might be rehashing the state of the city you provide the council to the PSC, and where it's 20 minutes or 30, but it's packaged, but it's from you, as opposed to going through Brandon, might be a way to get at an audience that is immediately making recommendations to the city council. And it might allow you to customize that to them a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
Might be more apt to get all the ears sitting at the same dais that you sit at right now, kind of attentive to your mission, the passion.
So just go to one of the planning hearings, basically, and do
it? Essentially, I mean, it's a coordination effort with Brandon.
Yeah.
I mean, you meet with the chairs of design and the PSC. I think there's a nuance in doing that, because it's what's different about the design commission making presentations to city council is just the nature of the order. You know, we all make recommendations, ultimately go through the PSC and then to council. The PSC is the recommending body to a lot of the legislative actions that we're weighing in on. I mean, it's design, historic, planning and sustainability commission, city council.
Right.
We're doing this a lot.
Yeah.
Which is fine. I'm just suggesting maybe we should do more of this.
Yeah, I agree. I think that's
a good idea.
Something to think about.
That's a really good idea.
We could also actually ask them to do what we want them to do, like formally make the request in a way that puts it on the record, basically. Mm-hmm. So not just give our state of the city, but here's what we need from you, you know, and ask them to please. I mean, we've been asking them through letters and letters. But
those are all directed at specific legislative projects,
that's
right?
True.
So it's over sort of.
That's true.
Right.
It's harder to say no if the person's sitting right in front of you speaking to you about what the ask is than to read a letter and to dismiss it. I'm not suggesting anyone's dismissing it, but it certainly feels that way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And Lord knows, at these subcommittee meetings, as these guys know, I'm extremely vocal, which is probably, I don't know if that's such a good thing. But, I mean, the point is that they definitely hear, you know, and we're all vocal, actually. I mean, I think that, for what it's worth, I think that I do feel like we're making some headway with some of them because they hear some things that they may not have heard before or even thought of before.
Well, and I will say that I also want us to be prepared that if, in fact, our little kumbaya moment with the Planning Commission doesn't really come to much and they move forward with some recommendations to City Council that we really have strong concerns with, we need a full court press to City Council. I would really hope that all of us can, you know, picket the council. I mean, stand back there with our signs. I don't know, but I'm kind of joking, but I'm kind of not. I really think it's so important for us to bring these issues up and say, you know, there's a lot more to the city than just accommodating growth.
And we're not opposed to accommodating growth. That's the thing that.
Good point.
That
yeah.
I think is, to your point about the people who are opposed to the historic districts, a lot of that is drawing from narratives around the development of new districts and the controversies in those districts about whether or not they should be districts and, you know, what the motivations are of the people who are supporting it. And, you know, the problem with that, of course, is that it's easy to demonize people for preserving aesthetics over, I think that was what was used. Like, aren't you preserving aesthetics over, you know, a human right to have a house or a place to live? I mean, it's a real easy target. You know, preserving an existing district or however you, I mean, whether we create new, we don't even know. We haven't even done an updated inventory, which, by the way, we've done on natural resources recently.
Yeah.
Okay. We have not done, I think that the pairing of built resources, historic resources, and natural resources under Goal 5 is really a key here. Because why is it that that we continually do surveys on natural resources, which are important? I mean, don't get me wrong. I don't think anybody would argue that they aren't important. But why, if it's under the same state goal, edict, are we not doing that for historic resources?
Right.
I've heard it described as because God made the landscape and man made the buildings.
One of your not going to go there, but
Rick Mickelson told me that one. I thought it was hilarious.
Well, it's smart growth. It's not just smart growth and an acknowledgement that right now we're just looking at numbers, and you can't, when you look at planning a city and his, you know, and what, you know, why do we have a historic landmark commission? Why do we have a design commission? I mean, if we wanted to just have rampant growth, we would get rid of it. There has to be, it has to be smart growth. And
right.
That includes acknowledging the importance of the historic districts and what they add to the city.
I was just going to say, that's the exact binary decision that we brought up with the Planning Commission, is that these neighborhoods are using the only tool they have to manage growth. It's either become a historic district, establish guidelines, and then you can manage it, or nothing. It's just a free-for-all. And so if you offered them up another tool, which is maybe design review light or some sort of design standards that looked at compatibility or archetypes or, you know, something that gave these people another option, but they're basically giving a binary choice of either let anything that a developer wants to happen in this neighborhood or form a historic district.
Right.
That's it today. So,
and the last, you know, kind of major thing I don't want us to let go of is sustainability, just in terms of preserving old buildings. I mean, it's so important to remember, you know, right now, I mean, look, California is burning. You know, our window to have any impact on climate change whatsoever is closing. You know, these are serious, serious issues. We can't just look at business as usual. And, you know, the idea that our whole city, you know, buildable land inventory, all of those studies are based on, you know, demolishing something and then replacing it with new development. Why are we doing that?
Yeah,
we cannot be doing that.
We recycle cans, but we throw away whole buildings.
Yeah.
Right? Isn't that what the somebody from the National Trust said years ago?
So anyway, there's my little soapbox on that.
We still building storage buildings everywhere.
Okay, so it sounds like for the retreat, it sounds like we are interested in having a design commissioner and potentially a planning commissioner there, and let's try to keep, you know, their time very short and focused.
I would support going to planning commission
too.
And
I think that's,
you know,
a different
suggested. Like,
yeah.
I think that would be a good, if that can happen before the retreat, then maybe that would even be better.
Yeah,
so that we can have a discussion about it rather than sort of, you know, we can talk all we want in this room, but it's not going to help unless they listen.
They have
to
some
the
dates
thing.
Too that are coming up where they're going to be voting on some of this stuff, right, Tim? I mean, we've got some.
Right, so.
I think December 11th was what I pulled up for Better Housing by Design. But Hillary then, I think, said something about April 9th. So I'm not really sure.
Yeah.
But
oh, that was when the recommendations were going to be issued.
Yeah.
And then there were some. So she said something about there being time, but that the decisions may be made before then during these. The November 27th and December 11th discussions, which are closed to the public, something like that.
Yeah, she said no testimony, so it's sort of like,
Yeah, so a part of where my comment was, not obviously in the sense of urgency, but also just maybe a matter of culturally, maybe we're missing an opportunity like the co-chair thing was bred out of that. But it did dawn on me that the state of the city is such a well-organized and presented to council. It seems like maybe there's an opportunity to build those relationships at the legislative recommending body level, and there's no reason not to. And it's different because design review generally is more density. We're not in the business so much as preserving as the Landmarks Commission would be. And so it is a special niche. So it was bigger than just immediate, but definitely immediately.
Good call. Anything else? Any other ideas for retreat or for the good of the order? No? All right. I'm going to call the meeting.
Happy Thanksgiving, you guys.
Yeah. Same to you.
Yeah.
Hope you guys have a good time with family.
This is my pleasure. I miss you guys.
Yeah, we miss you too.